this area. I think there are four or five decided fence cases in the history of Nebraska. And Judge Moore, I want you to know I'm delighted that you're on this panel, and I'll tell you in my closing why that is so.
Oh, I can't wait.
The way the fence law works, if you and I are adjoining landowners, let's say we've got a mile of fence that runs east and west, we stand in the middle of that fence, we look at each other, and I build to the right and you build to the right. Let's suppose that to the right, to my right, is a level plain, level as can be, not a piece, not a scrub in it. It is just as level and nice to build a fence on as you can find. And you have to build to your right, and it goes up and down, ravine after ravine. There are huge trees in the fence line. You've got to bulldoze them out. The difference in cost is obviously enormous. And to its credit, and I rarely say this, but our legislature tried to design a constitutional statute, 34-102, in which they said just proportion means an equitable allocation of cost. Equitable allocation means an equal burden of construction and maintenance costs. Your Honors, that did not happen in this case. And we say that the statute is unconstitutional as applied because neither court, neither the county court or the district court in this case, made any attempt to equitably allocate the cost in this case. And so, under the ruling in this case, if it stands, one landowner is able to inequitably take from his... Go ahead.
I have to get into something that's different here.
Okay.
So, under this fence law, when you mediated this, and you reached a mediated result, the statute provides then that the court then makes that part of the judgment or enters that as a judgment.
It does.
Right? So, we have a judgment here.
Yeah.
And then we have a complaint that one of the parties didn't comply with the judgment.
Right.
Correct?
That's correct.
What procedural... What process does the court follow as it relates to that? The complainant comes forward and says, hey, one of the parties is not complying with this judgment.
Mm-hmm.
Is that not a civil contempt proceeding at that point?
Well, I thought about that. But it may or may not be. But that relates to
it. What else could it be other than a civil contempt proceeding if one party's trying to say, or suggesting, that the other party is not complying with the judgment? What else could that possibly be?
I don't know. It might. I don't know. But I do know this. Nobody brought a civil complaint for contempt.
Well, wasn't there a motion for order to show cause?
There was. And
that was contempty, doesn't it?
Well, but then, then there was a hearing in which the defendant did, in my opinion, show cause because he showed that they went out and they fixed the fence. And the record is very clear that the fence was fixed. And as we said in the brief, it was able to confine cattle, which is, in our opinion, what the purpose of the fence law is designed to do in the first place. I want to point something out to you.
Was that, when you say you showed cause, was that, what type of evidence was presented?
The people that fixed the fence,
mm-hmm.
Your Honor, and then there were also photographs showing a nice, taut fence. That the deputy sheriff, who had 50 years of experience in fixing fence, said was capable of confining cattle. And that is the only purpose of the fence law. Think about this for just a minute. The purpose of the fence law isn't to enhance the appearance of the pasture. The purpose of the fence law is simply to confine livestock. It could not possibly have any other purpose.
Did the judge during the hearing then require you to present evidence first?
Yes, they did.
And I know you questioned that.
Well, my previous counsel did.
He did
question that because it didn't seem to him like it was his burden to go forward, but the judge ordered him to go forward, so he did.
The judge did place the burden on you, even though they were the complainant.
Yeah,
in connection.
That's right.
Process.
And Mr. Brewster, my previous counsel, you know, did question that, and it probably was not appropriate that Mr. Brewster be forced to go forward, but he did.
So is that a problem? I mean, in the whole proceeding itself, because now the burden of proof is on you.
I know. I know, and it could be, but we didn't raise it simply because we thought there were other. Personally, I thought that there were other matters that were more important. I know courts of appellate courts like to dwell on procedural matters. Advocates don't so much, but that and you may perhaps we should have, but we didn't.
So what you're seeking is a reversal on the merits that you should.
We are because on the constitutional argument, we say that it is a taking without due process of law, and the reason why it is taking is because of the example I just gave you. One side may have a bill that is 10 times the size of the other party's bill. And the court, in my judgment, if you read that statute and the language I just recited to you, I think the courts had an absolute obligation to allocate the cost equitably between the parties. And he didn't do that at all. He simply assigned to us the cost of building our portion of the fence. And I don't think that's what the statute says. And that's why we say this was an inequitable taking without due process of law.
Well, you didn't raise that issue with the county court, though, correct? That you're raising now?
Well, no, Your Honor, because I didn't have a chance to raise it with the county court. He entered his judgment, and then I appealed.
So this was a judgment, and the only question is whether or not they complied with the judgment. How can we get to a constitutional interpretation of the statute?
Well, wait a minute. He entered a judgment that we say is unconstitutional because the law required him to make an equitable allocation of the cost, and he didn't do that.
Was he not just enforcing a mediated agreement?
I don't know. He didn't do that at all. That's another problem that we raised, Your Honor, in our brief. The mediated agreement says that we would repair the fence, which we did. The mediated agreement doesn't say anything about replacing the fence, and as you will note, when I got into this case and examined Mr. Miller on the stand, I made him admit that there's a big difference between replace and repair, and I can't believe
quickly, it. Doesn't it?
Beg pardon?
It goes quickly.
It does. I can't believe that. I want to defer the rest of my time because I want to respond to their argument. So I'm going to stop and come back.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Right. Thank you. May I approach?
Yes, you may.
Good morning.
Good morning. May it please record. My name is Ryan Schwab. I'm the attorney for the appellee here, Richard Muller, who's seated right by me. And this is my first time appearing before you, and look forward to
welcome
presenting. Thank you. This appeal is ultimately about getting to, I think, what you are indicating in your questions to the appellees. It's about a mediated agreement. There are questions being raised about whether or not the court's order was equitable. But ultimately, this is a fence dispute, and fence disputes are questions of law. It says that right in Nebraska Revised Statutes. So whether it's equitable or not is largely irrelevant, but the statute is there. But more importantly, there's the agreement, which is in the record in paragraph 6 of that mediation agreement, which the appellee signed, which the appellee was represented by counsel, stated that if he failed to comply with paragraph 3 of the agreement, that my client could go forward and make those repairs, and the appellee agreed, that he would pay for those expenses that my client incurred in doing.
So there was a factual question as to whether or not they complied with the judgment.
Yes.
That's what's at issue here, right?
Yeah, so to get back to it, this agreement was entered about 6 months, even more so, from the actual hearing where the court gave Mr. Weider gave him seven days to comply with the mediation agreement. They entered into that mediation agreement. Mr. Wheeler was given 6 much to comply with the agreement that he signed. He did not do so. There was another hearing in December, about 2 months after the agreement that he was supposed to.
So I have to get to this issue, though, because obviously we have a concern here, and I want you to address it. So his client made an attempt to try and comply with the judgment. You believed that they failed. So you brought the issue to the court's attention and said, court, we don't think they're complying with the order. Is that not a civil contempt proceeding at that point?
I think it is, Your Honor. At that point, there was an order. And these, as you know, in Nebraska law, these fence set laws, fence agreements, mediation agreements, do become a court order, and they become enforceable. And my client went out and observed that he felt that the agreement had not been complied with, and he provided the proceedings.
And so in that regard, wasn't the burden on you as the complainant to show that, in fact, that he had not complied with the judgment?
No, I don't believe it is, Your Honor, because, to show cause, we're going to the court and asking them to show cause as to why they did not comply.
So let's walk through that. You walk in with an application with some affidavits suggesting that you don't think they complied with the order. Do you think that's enough to switch the burden to the other side, that your affidavits alone now shift the burden to the other side to, in fact, show that they didn't comply?
Top of my head, I can't say with certainty that it is. I do feel that at a point when there's an order coming in and we say that it hasn't been complied with, we do submit evidence. To me, the order of who goes first and who doesn't, I don't think affected the outcome of the case. This side presented evidence.
Yeah, see, there's another issue there, too, though. If, in fact, this is a civil contempt proceeding, and if you're the complainant, and if the burden's on you, not only is the burden on you under the Smeal decision, isn't it a clear and convincing evidence standard and not a preponderance standard at that point? In other words, did the court have the wrong party go first? Did they have the burden on the wrong party? Did they have the wrong standard of proof? How do we review that?
The court doesn't get into that in its order down below. And the way I read the order and interpreted it was that there wasn't really, it wasn't clear who had the burden in going forward. And I wasn't the attorney at those lower level proceedings. But looking at the order and looking at the case, it's clear that both sides had ample opportunity to present evidence as to whether or not this order was complied with. And I don't think the burden, as it is articulated, is really what it wasn't articulated. So I don't think that the procedural aspect of this case really bears much weight into whether or not the appellee filed the agreement, or followed the agreement, excuse me, the appellate followed the agreement.
Okay. Also, just talk to me about this issue. So you believe they didn't repair it adequately. You went out and repaired it yourself. In fact, his point is you replaced it as opposed to repaired it. Mm-hmm. Did you put in evidence with regard to the reasonableness of that cost? Because that was a component part of the order, was it not?
Yeah, it was. What the mediation agreement states is that they will pay for the cost. There was no evidence really presented on reasonableness from either side. My client went out, he documented the violations, he provided notice to Mr. Weider that these violations, he didn't feel was adequate. And 30 days went by, and he went and he informed the appellant that he was going to use this particular company to remove the trees and use a different company to put the fence. Mr. Weir. Additionally, going to that issue of cost, whether or not, you know, it was equitable as the statute says, this also is actually irrelevant, because what paragraph 6 of the agreement says is that he agrees to pay for the cost if the, he agrees to pay for the cost if he is found not to be compliant.
It does say reasonable expenses, though.
Yes, yes, and which the court did address, and that is a question of law for you to review whether or not these were reasonable, and I think the court's pretty clear with the following standard pricing, and there was no evidence on either side to show reasonableness other than the evidence my client presented that it was a standard bill, and there's nothing to refute that. So, questions on the constitutionality, I'll briefly touch on the factual issues that were raised. Outside of the procedural components of this case, I mean, there was a lot of evidence presented on both sides about whether or not he had complied with this fence, with this mediation agreement. Mr. Weider cites several examples of exhibits in his case. The district court notes many exhibits that were presented that showed that the fence did not meet up with Nebraska law after Mr. Weider attempted to fix it and after the court's order. And at that point, you have to ask yourself, was the district court clearly wrong? And there's just no evidence out there to suggest they were wrong. They had evidence from both sides, and they weighed it, and they made their judgment. And there's nothing in that record there that shows that what they did was wrong. And, for all of these reasons, I think that opinion has to be upheld. So with that, I'll yield my time.
We have no further questions. Thank you. How much time does Mr. Koenig have remaining?
1 minute, 42 seconds.
Judge Welsh, I think, with respect to your issue about civil contempt, as I told you, Mr. Brewster initially said that he thought that they had the burden, and the burden was cast upon us, and I didn't think I'd be candid with you. I did not think about the fact that they would have had a burden of clear and convincing evidence if this was a contempt action. I wish I had approached it differently than I did. However, I think this court could still find plain error with respect to the procedure that was employed. And I think on that basis, you could reverse this on the ground that the burden was cast upon us to go forward, and then the burden of clear and convincing evidence was not cast upon the other side. Judge Moore, I said I would tell you this, and I'm going to tell you why I'm glad you're on this panel. A week ago today, we were on our way from Thedford, which is 65 miles north of North Platte, to Alliance. We went by mile after mile after mile of fence. Not one of those fences complied with Nebraska fencing law. I promise you, some of the posts go like this. They look like snakes. They are, split rail posts. There are not four-wire fences. Do you realize what that means? I mean, every farm organization in the state is watching this case. And the reason is because if one landowner can go and force his neighbor to experience this kind of cost, we're going to have incredible upheaval in this case. I just want you to know.
Of course, we didn't create the law.
No, man. We didn't
enforce it, right?
I'm not ascribing to you responsibility for this. But I'm just saying this case has enormous implications for the state of Nebraska. Well, I'm all done.
You are.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you both. We appreciate your appearance here today.